And as we were there, I was there by myself passing out the tracts right outside of a bar. And the fellow, this really huge man, came toward me and was very intimidating. And I went to pass him a tract. He took the tract just like this, right out of my hand like this, and took it and threw it right back in my face. It bounced off my nose and landed on the ground. So I picked it up. I bent down, picked it up, straightened it out, put it in my pile, and said, have a great night. The next week I was down there again, same guy coming toward me. Hi, would you like? So I gave him a gospel tract. This time he just took it, threw it on the ground. Didn't throw it at me this time. The next time I was down there, I saw the same man again. This time he took the tract just like this, shoved it in his pocket, and off he left. Weeks went by. I never saw the guy again. I was down there around the corner from that bar, right around the corner. I was out passing out tracts, and I was going around the block. And a man came up to me, and he said, do you have any money? And whenever I used to go into the streets, I always put my wallet underneath the seat. I never took my wallet with me so that I could honestly say, silver and gold, I have none. And so this man came toward me, and he asked me for money. And he wanted it so that he could go buy some alcohol. And I said, well, I'll take you to get something to eat if you want something to eat. And he said, no, I just want money. And I said, well, and I thought it worked for Peter, so I'll try it. Silver and gold I have none, but what I do have, I'll give you. And the man grabs me by the throat, and he starts choking me. So what do I do? Do I defend myself, beat this poor guy up, or in Jesus' name, boom? Or do I just let him start choking me out and see what happens? And all of a sudden, I hear this voice. Hey, leave the man alone. And the guy looks and he takes off running. And I look and it's this big, huge guy that I had given a track to for 3 weeks in a row. And I walked over to the car and I said, hey, I'm really glad to see you tonight. And he says, and he doesn't say anything about the incident. First thing he says to me, you know that track you gave me? I said, yeah. That's the same stuff my grandmother used to tell me all the time.
Yep.
He said, I took that track home in my pocket. Yep. And I put it on my dresser and I read it. And I accepted Christ as my Savior.
Praise the Lord. Yep.
And you know, you never know. And for years I was in contact with that man, and then I moved away and I lost contact. But he got into a good church and a fundamental church, and he's growing. Last time I knew, he was really going on for the Lord. So you never know. A refusal isn't the end.
Yep.
It's just the beginning, and the Lord will continue on.
Yeah. I'm going to share one last thing here before we close out, and because it actually pertains to camp here too. I drove up with Brother Naeem and Sister Peg on the way up to camp here, and I had mentioned that I was able to, the Lord opened the door to go to India and Nepal. And when I was in North India back in January, I was walking in. We drove for 3 hours into the middle of nowhere, and then we had a 4 kilometer hike into this little village. And it was late at night when we got to where we could drive to and park the vehicle and loaded up all of the food and things we were taking to the village. And halfway into the village, it was scary for me because we're walking on this village, on this trail, and some gravel had come off from above me up on the mountain somewhere and fell down the back of my shirt, you know? And I was thinking, am I going to die out here or what? Like, what am I doing, right? But just a little further up the trail, a couple met us on the side of the trail, and they had heard we were coming to go to this village, Gaikana. And they said, come to our home. We've invited these two young sisters or these two young ladies to hear the gospel. Would you give the gospel? And so I went, we said, sure. And we went in and they made some tea and, the Lord, helped with a gospel message. And, you know, neither of them put their faith and trust in the Lord. And like Brother Daniel was talking about, a lot of times, and even Tim here just now, things happen later, you know, the seed is planted and such. And, so anyway, we left that night and I remember the elation, as I left that little hut. It was bamboo and mud hut, very, very simple dirt floor. Left that and started headed toward the village, but my heart was just rejoicing because I thought, like, here's just this, you know, I would have never thought in a million years that I would be over there, right, doing that, sharing the good news. And here I had that opportunity, and I knew there were more to come in the village. And anyway, on the way to camp here, I got a text message from one of the brothers that was with me on that trip, one of the local brothers that I had gone with. Two and three of the local brothers that I was with texted me just where we stopped for lunch and said that that young lady, he was there at the home again, and that young lady had put her faith and trust in the Lord that night. And I just thought, you know, wow, right? You just never know, right? But again, I want to just mention the reason I bring that up is that I think that the foundation of being able to make that trip stemmed out of the work that I've been doing, you know, amongst the Nepali and Bhutanese brethren here in the United States and Canada, and the gospel work on the street. Maybe I wouldn't have known how to handle that situation had I not, you know, been doing what the Lord has me doing right now. So just start right where you're at. And guess what? You have those Bible tracts that I handed out in your hand. Just use those. Take those with you. And the next time you stop for gas on the way home, or in a restaurant, or when you're somewhere, just say, hey, here, read this. And remember, there's a soul in there, and it's precious to the Lord. And we're called to be a bright, shining light. We're called to be a bright, shining light. And boy, how many times have you sung, hide it under a bushel, and yelled, no, right? And then walked out and did what? You know? And I'm speaking to the adults here in particular tonight. When we sing that and we yell out no with our children there and then walk out, and that's the last they hear of being a witness and a testimony until the next Lord's Day in Sunday school where we sing that song again. What message are we sending, right? It's like, yeah, just say that when it's convenient and looks good. But when you hit the street, man, you know, look like the world. Don't be different. Right. So anyway, I think I'm well past time here. So let your light so shine before men, brothers and sisters in Christ. Take a stand for Christ and just take those tools that you got. It's a tool the Lord has given us. Here, read this when you get a chance and see if the Lord won't open up just doors of opportunity that'll just make you just weep in humility that He would use you for this purpose. May the Lord bless the time together. Again, if your email address is on that list, I'll be sure to send you this, as well as another document that has a bunch of verses in it that might be helpful, especially if you're working with people that have never done this type of thing before. So.